This is Local Views of the News, first time, 2010. No doubt you've noticed that a couple of security breaches have been the principal news stories of the past couple of weeks, but just to visualize a broader picture, think all the way back to the couple who crashed the state dinner at the White House for the Indian Prime Minister. The tone of that story was that the Secret Service was embarrassed, but the incident was harmless because the crashers were just publicity seekers. Then Northwest Airlines let a guy on a plane who reportedly tried to blow it up on Christmas Day, and Homeland Security boss Janet Napolitano's initial response was the equivalent of no harm, no foul. She changed that tune, of course, after she figured out that it was no harm, blind luck, or at least that's the universal spin on the story. Blind luck ran out this week in eastern Afghanistan when a double agent blew up a room full of people, which included 7 CIA agents, effectively eliminating whatever was passing for U.S. covert intelligence in the war there. The cumulative impression formed by these stories is that if there's anything smart about U.S. intelligence and security, it must be Maxwell smart. The CIA massacre story isn't packaged and delivered quite like the others because, of course, it lacks the happy ending. We've been told that everyone knew the bomber was a double agent, and like all effective double agents in the movies, both sides trusted him. One side has to be wrong. I haven't seen any information challenging the basic facts being reported by the mainstream media on these stories, and it's a little early for the hardcore conspiracy people to have their engines revved up, but some things about the reporting just don't smell right. It's the scent of orchestrated news at the very least, and the very least is what we've learned to expect. First, we're looking at a significant shift in the public profile of suicide bombers. Until now, they've been portrayed as young, devout, radical, blindly obedient, and willing to light the fuse just about anywhere random infidels might be gathered. The inept bomber on the airliner, however, is said to be a wealthy and privileged man with a British education. We're told that as soon as he was taken into custody, he started bragging about being from Al-Qaeda. The double agent also is characterized as a well-educated man, a medical doctor, obviously clever and focused with a complicated scheme leading up to his attack, quite different from the old-style suicide bomber who would just strap on the payload and wander into a crowd. What really smells odd about the reporting is the way it all leads neatly to Yemen, the latest place in the Middle Eastern media spotlight. We have to factor the killer shrink of Texas into this picture, too, because the imam with whom he was chatting is holed up in Yemen. Before these stories, we never heard of Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, but now we're supposed to assume that such an organization exists in Yemen and actually wants to take credit for training the guy who botched the bombing in Detroit. Not exactly up to bin Laden's terrorism standards, but it's just a farm team for the major league club in Pakistan. Yemen, of course, is the country where a few years ago some guys in a small boat blew themselves right through the hull of a warship called the USS Cole. It's said to be a country where no one has a job and everyone has an automatic weapon. Now the Secretary of State is talking about stabilizing the country to protect U.S. interests. She hasn't said just what those interests might be. They never do. Joe Lieberman says Yemen might be the next Afghanistan, and the president promises to retaliate against Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula. New country, new scapegoat, same old story. Two of the key players in this road to Yemen, the Texas shrink and the crotch bomber in Detroit, are living and breathing in federal custody. They should be able to tell us firsthand what they did and why they did it, but if this matched set of stories is true to form, that'll never happen. So we can believe what the government tells us or what those conspiracy cats theorize. Neither one smells quite right. And that's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you again, this commentary doesn't necessarily smell too sweet for KVMR, its management staff or contributors. Email mark@caloki.com.